All right, so you're thinking about buying a used car, but don't want to get stuck with a lemon. Well, today we're diving deep into Underwoods Motoring's used car buying guide. It's like having a cheat sheet for spotting those red flags and getting the best deal.
What stands out to me is how it goes beyond just the usual basic advice, like kick the tires and stuff. It's full of these insider tips that'll really make a difference, whether you're already a total car enthusiast or you're buying a car for the very first time.
Yeah, they're starting strong too. Right out of the gate, they stress how important a vehicle history check is. I mean, they even say, do not buy a car unless it has one.
Wow, yeah. That's a pretty bold statement. It shows how important this is. Think of it as like a background check for your potential car. It uses the car's VIN, that unique ID number, to dig up its past, accidents, mileage issues, even missed maintenance, things that could really come back to haunt you later.
They even say you can cross-check that with the MOT history. For extra peace of mind. It's like double verification. So I know these checks exist, but what are some things they can reveal that might not be obvious just by looking at the car?
One thing that often comes up is accident damage. The report will tell you if the car's been in any big crashes, and that can affect the structure and how safe it is. And believe it or not, mileage discrepancies are actually more common than you might think. Some sellers mess with the odometer, trying to make the car seem newer or like it hasn't been driven as much.
Oh, wow.
A history check can catch that, and it can keep you from overpaying for a car with way more miles on it.
So it's not just about safety then, it's about avoiding getting ripped off. What about the maintenance history? They mentioned the report can show if it's been regularly serviced.
Right, you want to see that it's been consistently maintained, following the manufacturer schedule. Gaps in the service history or missing records, that's a red flag. It could mean it's been neglected, and that could mean expensive repairs later.
Makes sense. And they mentioned the RAC and the AA for these checks, right? So you're not just taking the seller's word for it.
Absolutely, having an independent source really gives you a much clearer picture, and it puts you in a stronger position as the buyer.
Okay, so step one, decode the car's past with a vehicle history check. Next up is the visual inspection. And the guide is really big on taking your time. They even say, do not be rushed.
Yeah, and that's important. Sometimes salespeople try to make you feel like you need to decide right away. But remember, you're the one in control. This is a big investment. You got to be thorough and look at everything calmly and systematically.
Right, like don't let the shiny paint and that new car smell distract you from a careful look. Where do we even start with that?
Well, the guide says to begin with the exterior, and it's almost like approaching a crime scene. Looking for clues, look for any inconsistencies in the paint. Things like mismatched colors, overspray, or that orange peel texture. Those can mean there were repairs that weren't done very well. And they're really serious about rust, too. They say to treat even a tiny spot like a major clue. It could be a sign of a much bigger problem underneath.
So a small rust spot could be a deal breaker then.
It kind of depends on how bad it is and where it is. A little bit of surface rust on a part that's not structural, that might be okay. But rust on the frame or suspension parts, that's a big no-no. It's probably worth getting a professional opinion if you're not sure.
Good point. And they say to look closely at the gaps between the panels.
Right. They should be consistent and even all around the car. If you see any misalignments or panels that don't quite line up, it could mean there was accident damage or maybe shoddy repairs.
And don't forget to check underneath the car, too, for any signs of frame damage or rust there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. A lot of people just focus on what they can see at eye level. But looking underneath, that can tell you a lot about the car's history.
Speaking of telling a story, what about the tires?
Okay, so they say to pay attention to the wear patterns on the tires. Uneven wear, like excessive wear on just one side, or bald spots. That can point to problems with the alignment, suspension, even the frame. It's a sign something isn't right. And it could mean a ride that's not safe or stable.
They even mentioned that while the legal tread depth here in the UK is 1.6 millimeters, they recommend at least 3 millimeters for safety.
Yeah, that extra tread, it can make a huge difference in braking distance, especially when it's wet or slippery.
Makes sense. They also talk about checking all the glass for cracks or chips and making sure all the lights work.
Right. It's easy to get caught up in how the car looks overall. But those small things, they can add up in terms of repair costs later.
Okay, so we've thoroughly examined the exterior, looking for every clue we can find. What's next on our used car inspection list?
Well, now the guide suggests we move inside, and their approach here is similar to the outside. Look for signs of wear and tear that go beyond what's normal.
They say that a used car will obviously have some wear and tear. It's not about finding a perfect car. It's about knowing the difference between normal wear and excessive damage that might mean it's been neglected or mistreated.
Yeah, it's like checking out a used book. A few dog-eared pages are fine. But a water-stained cover that's all torn up, that might make you think twice.
Okay, so we need to really scrutinize the interior then. What are some of the key things to look at?
They start with the upholstery. Check for tears, stains, and excessive wear, especially on the driver's seat. Then look closely at the carpets, especially the areas around the pedals and the back seats.
Why those areas specifically?
Well, the area around the pedals, that's where the driver's feet are constantly rubbing. So if it's excessively worn, it could mean the car has high mileage or that the driver has some rough driving habits. And the back seats usually get less use. So if they're heavily stained or worn, it might mean the car has been used for hauling messy things or carrying more passengers than it should.
So even those little details can tell a story.
Yeah, they also say to check all the controls and features, make sure everything works as it should. Test the heating and air conditioning, the radio, the power windows, the lights, basically anything electronic. If there's a media screen, check for discoloration, dead pixels, or any display issues.
It's easy to just assume everything works, but it's better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly.
And while you're checking those controls, they say to also examine the pedals, gear knob, and handbrake.
Right, excessive wear on those could be another sign of high mileage or rough use.
I never would have thought to look at the handbrake. What about using your nose as part of the inspection?
Oh yeah, they call it the smell test. It's a surprisingly effective way to detect problems. Smells like smoke, pets, mustiness, or mold. Those can be hard to get rid of, and they might point to bigger issues. Things like water damage, leaks, or bad ventilation.
So if a car smells off, that's probably not a good sign.
Yeah, it's worth looking into further. Sometimes it's just an air freshener masking a bigger problem.
Okay, so we've covered the exterior and interior inspections. Now comes the part a lot of people might dread, looking under the hood, especially if you're not a car person. But they say they're keeping it simple.
Yeah, the guide focuses on visual checks that anyone can do. You don't need to be a mechanic. It's about giving you the power to spot potential problems.
So what are some of the things to look for?
They start with leaks. Any fluids dripping or pooling under the car or around the engine, that's a bad sign. Look for signs of oil leaks around the engine block, transmission, and axles. Check for coolant leaks around the radiator and hoses. And look for brake fluid leaks around the master cylinder and brake lines.
So any leaks are a red flag?
It really depends. How bad is the leak? What kind of fluid is it? A small leak might be an easy fix, but a big one could mean a serious and expensive problem. It's always better to be safe than sorry. Get a professional opinion if you're unsure.
What about the belts and hoses?
So the belts drive different things, like the alternator, power steering pump, and air conditioning compressor. They should be in good shape. No cracks, fraying, or excessive wear. And the hoses carry fluids, like coolant and power steering fluid. They should be pliable and free from leaks or bulges.
So what are we looking for when we check those?
Any signs of wear or damage on the belts or hoses. That's a potential problem. A worn belt could snap, and you're stranded. And a damaged hose could leak. And then the engine could overheat. Or the power steering could fail.
And what about the battery?
The battery should be clean, securely mounted, and free from corrosion. Corrosion around the terminals could mean a problem with the battery or the charging system. And if the battery isn't mounted properly, it could come loose from vibrations and cause damage.
So these are all things that are relatively easy to check,
yeah,
but they're important indicators of the car's overall condition.
Exactly.
And the guide also has a couple of simple checks.
Oh, yeah.
It can tell you even more about the car without needing any tools. I'm intrigued. Tell me more about these no tools required checks.
First is the bounce test. Push down firmly on each corner of the car and let go. If it bounces a lot or takes a while to go back to normal, it could mean the shocks or struts are worn. And while you're doing that, listen carefully when you turn the steering wheel. Any weird noises like grinding or clunking, that could indicate problems with the power steering or suspension.
So we're just listening for anything that sounds off.
Exactly. Cars make noises. But some noises are warning signs.
I'm starting to feel like a real car detective here.
That's the whole point. By knowing what to look for and paying attention to the details, you can really lower the risk of buying a used car that'll give you trouble.
This is all great advice. But what happens next? Should we call a mechanic to give it a more thorough inspection?
That's a great question, and it's something we'll talk about in the next part of our deep dive. We'll cover when it's worth getting a professional inspection, how to choose a good mechanic, and what to look for in their report.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear more. So for now, we've covered the vehicle history check and a thorough look at the exterior and interior, including under the hood. It sounds like we've gathered a lot of info about the car's history and how reliable it might be.
Exactly.
And in the next part, we'll explore even more ways to assess the car's condition and help you make a confident decision.
Sounds good.
This is all incredibly helpful. So for everyone listening, stay tuned for part two of our deep dive, where we'll uncover even more insider tips from Underwood's Motoring's Used Car Buying Guide and help you navigate the rest of the used car buying process with confidence. Welcome back to our used car deep dive. I'm already feeling like a much smarter shopper after all those insights we got in part one.
It's amazing what you can learn about a car just by taking a close look, right?
Absolutely. We've decoded the VIN, checked every nook and cranny, even used our noses to sniff out potential problems.
Yeah.
What's next on our list?
We touched on mileage before, but the guide really emphasizes that it's just one factor. They suggest looking at the service records to get a more complete history.
They call them a window into the car's past. I love that. It's like reading a diary of how the car has been treated.
Exactly. Consistent servicing. That's a good sign that the owner has been taking care of it. And it can also give you a heads up on any potential issues that might come up later.
So what should we be looking for in those records? Is it just about making sure the oil changes have been done?
Well, that's a good start. But there's more to it. The guide recommends looking for regular maintenance at the intervals the manufacturer suggests. Each car has its own schedule for things like oil changes, filter replacements, fluid flushes, and other routine stuff.
So it's like the car's been following a doctor's orders, not just getting a quick checkup when something feels wrong.
Right.
And it's worth checking if the car has had any major services.
Oh, yeah. Like timing belt or water pump replacement. Those are things with a limited lifespan, and they need to be replaced at specific times to avoid big problems with the engine.
Those sound expensive. Is there a way to know when those services are due?
It depends on the car. So it's worth checking beforehand. You can usually find that info in the owner's manual.
Yeah.
Or online.
So regular maintenance, major service milestones. What else can we see in those records?
Pay attention to the details. Do the repairs match the mileage? Do the descriptions of the work sound thorough and professional? Are there any red flags, like multiple repairs for the same thing, or signs that maintenance was put off?
So we really need to put on our detective hats.
Yeah.
And scrutinize those records. What about digital records? Are those as reliable as the old paper ones?
That's a good question. The guide says digital records are becoming more common, but they still say to ask for documentation, no matter what format it's in.
So don't just take the seller's word for it.
Right.
You need to see proof.
Exactly.
This all makes sense. But what if the seller doesn't have those detailed records?
That's a good point. And it's something we'll talk about later when we compare buying from a dealer versus a private seller.
Okay. Looking forward to that. So we've checked the service records. What's next?
The guide says to look into the car's ownership history. Fewer owners is generally better.
So a car that's had a lot of owners, that could be a riskier buy.
It could mean the car's had problems or that previous owners weren't happy with it. Of course, there are valid reasons for multiple owners, like a family passing a car down or someone moving and not needing a car anymore. But if a car has had a lot of short-term owners, it's worth finding out why.
It's like checking references for a potential roommate.
Exactly.
You want to know if they've had any problems in the past?
The guide also has an interesting tip. If you're buying from a private seller, ask them why they're selling the car.
Oh, that's a good one. I bet a lot of people don't think to ask that. What kind of insights can you get from that?
Their reason for selling, it could reveal some red flags or upcoming maintenance that they might be trying to avoid, like if they say they're getting a company car or downsizing to one vehicle. Those are pretty neutral reasons. But if they're vague or evasive, or if their answer doesn't match the car's condition or mileage, it could mean they're hiding something.
Like if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Right. And sometimes the seller's body language or their tone of voice can tell you just as much as their words. Pay attention to their demeanor. Are they hesitant or eager to get rid of the car?
So it's like they're teaching us to be detectives, looking for those subtle clues.
That's how you become a smart used car buyer. Yeah. Be observant, ask the right questions, and trust your gut feeling.
Okay, so we've looked at the service records, investigated the ownership history, and even questioned the seller. What's next?
The guide says it's important to check for any open recalls on the car.
Recalls? Those are the things manufacturers issue when they find safety defects or problems with the car, right?
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of used cars have open recalls that haven't been taken care of.
You'd be surprised.
So how do we check for those? Do we have to contact the manufacturer?
There's an easier way.
Yeah.
The guide says to check the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration website, the NHTSA. It's a free resource. You can search for recalls by VIN.
So we can just enter the car's VIN
and
see if anything comes up. That's great.
It's a simple step, but it could save you a lot of trouble later. Imagine buying a car and then finding out it has a safety issue. That could put you and your passengers at risk.
And they mentioned something about authorized repairers.
Oh, yeah. If a recall has been issued and the previous owner didn't get it fixed, an authorized repairer for that car brand can often do the repairs for free.
So there's another advantage to buying from a dealer who's an authorized repairer for that make and model.
Exactly. They're more likely to know about any recalls, and they'll have the expertise to fix them the right way.
This is all such good information. I feel like I'm really getting a handle on this.
Yeah.
And we're not done yet.
In the next part of our deep dive, we'll talk about warranties, the pros and cons of buying from a dealer versus a private seller, and some tips on negotiating a fair price and protecting your investment.
This is getting exciting. So for everyone listening, stay tuned for part 3, where we'll tackle the final stages of the used car buying journey and help you drive off the lot feeling confident.
All right, welcome back, fellow car detectives. We've cracked the code of service records, grilled those sellers, and even unearthed hidden recalls. Now we're in the final stretch of our mission, negotiating a good price and making sure our investment is protected.
This is where all that work we did pays off. You've got all this knowledge about the car, and you can use that to your advantage when it comes to talking numbers.
It's like we've leveled up our bargaining skills. But the guide doesn't really give us specific tactics for negotiating, does it?
Not really, no. It's more about giving you the info you need to make smart choices, not a step-by-step guide to haggling.
Which makes sense. Every situation is different. But are there any general tips they recommend?
Well, their whole emphasis on transparency and thorough inspections, that sets you up for a fair negotiation.
So it's like they're saying, we've made sure this car is in great shape, and we're happy to discuss a price that reflects that.
Exactly. So before you even go to the dealership or meet this seller, you should know what the car is worth. You know the fair market value. There are websites and tools online that can help with that, like Kelley Blue Book or Auto Trader.
So do your research. Yeah. Come prepared. And I remember they said we can use what we found during our inspection as leverage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you found any minor issues, like scratches or wear and tear, you can use those to justify a lower offer.
Like a friendly game of poker.
Right.
We're showing our cards and letting the seller know we're serious.
And remember, negotiation is a two-way street. Be respectful, be willing to compromise, and don't be afraid to ask for what you want.
That's good advice. It's easy to get excited about buying a car and forget that we can walk away if we don't like the deal.
And speaking of walking away, the guide really stresses how important it is to understand the return or exchange policy, especially for a used car.
They even say, always ask about it.
Mm.
Why is that so important?
It's your protection. In case you find any problems after you've bought the car.
So like a trial period to make sure the car is what you expected. What should we look for in a good return policy?
Ideally, you want a policy that gives you enough time to return the car for a full refund or exchange it if you're not happy. Some dealers offer a 3-day or 7-day money-back guarantee. Others might have a more limited exchange policy.
And we should make sure we know the conditions, like mileage limits or required inspections.
Absolutely. And get it in writing. A clear written agreement protects both you and the seller.
Okay, so we've negotiated a good price, and we've got a solid return policy. What else can we do to protect our investment once we've driven that car off the lot?
The guide talks about a few more things that can give you extra peace of mind. Things like extended warranties, MOT failure cover, and roadside assistance.
Let's break those down. Extended warranties. What exactly are we extending?
Think of it like insurance for your car's parts. It covers repair costs for a certain period, beyond the manufacturer's original warranty, or the dealer's warranty.
So if something big breaks, like the engine or transmission, we're not stuck paying a huge repair bill?
Exactly. It can save you a lot of money, especially if you're buying an older car, or a model that's known for having problems.
But just like any insurance, it's important to understand what's covered.
Right, what parts are covered, what are the limits on how much they'll pay, are there any deductibles? Those are all things to ask about before you buy an extended warranty.
What about MOT failure cover?
That's for here in the UK. The MOT is the annual safety inspection, and this covers the cost of repairs if your car fails the test.
So it protects us from unexpected repair bills.
Exactly.
Especially for older cars.
Which are more likely to have problems that could make them fail the MOT.
And finally, roadside assistance. I always make sure I have that, even for a new car.
It's definitely good to have. Knowing you're not stuck if something happens. Roadside assistance usually covers things like towing, jump starts, flat tire changes, even fuel delivery if you run out of gas.
It's like having a safety net for your car.
Exactly. And it's especially helpful if you drive long distances or in areas where you might not have good cell service.
Well, I think we've covered it all. From checking the VIN to looking under the car, negotiating a fair price, and making sure we're protected with warranties and roadside assistance, we've given our listeners everything they need to navigate the used car market with confidence.
Remember, be an informed buyer. Do your research. Ask questions. Trust your gut. And don't be afraid to walk away if something doesn't feel right.
A big thank you to Underwoods Motoring for all great advice. Their guide is a fantastic resource. I definitely recommend checking it out.
Agreed. It's clear they really want to help people make good decisions about buying a car.
So as you head out on your used car adventure, remember what you've learned in this deep dive. Take your time, be thorough, and most importantly, enjoy the process. Happy car hunting, everyone.